Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hi, everyone. Hope you are doing well. Welcome, 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 welcome back to another episode in this podcasting series. It is episode 15. Wow, I can't believe it. It has been 15 episodes so far. You know, God is just so amazing and He's so wonderful. And sad to say that this will be the final episode in this series. Not that I'm ending the podcast, but in this series, you know, I just want to break it down a little instead of just constantly putting out episodes. So I'm just taking a break. So this is the end of series or season one. And then I'll take a break for a few weeks, not long. And then I'll recharge, so to speak, and then come back again. So in today's episode, I'll be speaking about standing your ground. Stand firm in what it is you believe in. Stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand firm on the word of God and do not bow to the pressures of this world. Do not bow to the pressures of society. Sorry about that. But before I get into this podcast, as always, I just want to lift up a prayer for you guys and also to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for, you know, for what He's doing in my life, what He's doing also in your lives. And I pray that, you know, the things that you are experiencing, whether good or bad, you will just continue to persevere and continue to push on through. So Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come before you today, Lord, I just want to thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart for the things that you're doing, not only in my life, but in the life of the listeners, in the life of those, oh Father God, who have chosen to listen to this podcast today. Father God, where would we be without you? Father God, you said in the word that without you, Lord Jesus, we are nothing. And that is so true. We are nothing. Lord, you have given me this podcast, you have placed it on my heart to speak about standing our ground, especially in today's society, oh Father God, where everyone wants us to adopt the norms of society. But you are telling us, oh Lord, to stand our ground despite the naysayers, despite what people say. So Lord, I am thanking you again for the listeners. And I pray, oh Lord, as I speak these words, oh Lord, that they will sink deep into the hearts of the listeners. They will sink so deeply, oh Father God, that they will realize that they do not have to bow to the pressures of the world. They do not have to bow to the pressures of man, but to stand for you because you are faithful and you will be faithful to those who are faithful to you. So Father God, I just want to also pray for them, oh Lord, that you will continue to mold them, continue to put them on the potter's wheel. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen. So, you know, when we look in the world around us, we're going to go through times when we're faced with situations where we will have to make a firm stand, where we have to stand for what it is we believe in, regardless of what other people are saying. You know, a friend of mine once told me that we have to stand for something or we will fall for everything. And that is so true. And what it is we as believers in Christ need to stand on, and it is to stand only on the word of God. And that is it. Stand on His holy word, because He is holy and the word of God is truth. You know, everywhere when we look around in society, people want us to do what they think is right. People, it's about what they think is right. But when you look at it, what they are thinking is right is absolutely wrong. And whilst I'm not advocating that we should break the law, because the Bible tells us that we should obey the law of the land, but whatever goes against God's word, we do not have to obey it, because God is the final say. God's word is the final say. Yeah. So therefore, when we look in the scriptures, we have so many different accounts of people who stood firm on who God is, stood firm on His word and His word only. And I'm just going to speak about, you know, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And of course, Daniel, who in the, you know, famously from the book of Daniel, goes all the way round. So just to give a, I'm not sure if you guys, if you're listening, if you're believers in Christ, but for those of who are not, in the book of Daniel, we read an account of, you know, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But actually, they were not, that's not their original name. Their name was changed when they went to Babylon. So Daniel was called Belshazzar, and then Ananiah was called Shadrach, and Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. So their Hebrew names were changed basically to Babylonian names. And in the book of Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, we read the first stance here that Daniel took when they were offered food. And these food were, the food offered were, I think they were given to idols, or they prayed over it first before. So I'm just going to read the account here. It says, Daniel 1 verse 8 says, "But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable food," because they were first offered to idols. They were first offered to the Babylonian gods before they gave them to the people to eat, or before they gave them to those who were in the king's circle, so to speak, to eat. But Daniel said, no, they are not. But, you know, the chief of staff was reluctant in the beginning to do it, because he said that, you know, if anything happens to them, if they don't look as fat and plump, so to speak, the king is going to basically be upset with him. But Daniel said, just give us vegetables and we will eat it, and just compare, you know, compare us to the others after 10 days. And of course, after 10 days, Daniel and his friends, they looked a bit more healthier compared to those who were gorging down on the meat and the wine. You know, so basically that is the first stance there we read in the book of Daniel. But when we get on further into the book of Daniel, especially in Daniel chapter 3, we read about Nebuchadnezzar, who had on his golden statue, who erected this massive statue and wanted everyone to bow down to this statue. But of course, the three Hebrews, I'll just give their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow down. And the decree of the king was, if anyone failed to bow down to this statue, then they would be thrown in the fire. I'm just gonna read the scripture. It's a bit long, it's three verses, but you will get the gist of it and where it is I am coming from. So let me just get my Bible here. So I'll just find the chapter for you. So it is Daniel chapter 3 verses 12 to 15, and I will read. It says here, "But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have been put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up." So those were, you would say, people who didn't like the fact, other high-ranking people who probably were jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who went and told the king that, listen, there are some Hebrews, who there are some Jews who think that they are better and not wishing to bow down, you know, to this golden statue. And then it reads further on that says here, "Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to rescue you from my power?'" So he was all puffed up. He was saying, well, listen, what god will be, you know, he was basically saying, no God will be able to rescue you from his power. He was putting himself above everything else to say his power is higher than everything else. But the beauty about it is that is the answer what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gave to Nebuchadnezzar. And that is it. They stood firm in because they knew who God is. They knew whom the God they serve is. And they said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, pardon, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. So that's it. They said the God that they serve is able to rescue them. And then they further went on to say, but even if he doesn't, they will never worship the golden statue. And that is it what we must do, children of God. It doesn't matter. The God that we serve, he can rescue us from every situation. However, even if he chooses not to, or if he doesn't rescue us from a particular situation, we must not bow down to what the society says. We must not bow down to what the world wants us or how the world wants us to think, because at the end of the day, the God that we serve, he is able. The God that we serve, he is the God of impossible. And then when you read further on into the book of Daniel, you know what happened? The king ordered that the fire be turned up even hotter, the furnace be turned up even hotter. So basically he's saying to himself, then, well, guess what? So be it. I'm gonna see now. So we know when they were thrown into that furnace, what happened? They were like, wasn't it not three persons we threw into the furnace? But I see four people walking around in the fire. Four people walking around in the fire. And when they came out, they had not even a smell of smoke on them. They had absolutely nothing. They were not burnt. They didn't look singed. They didn't look any at all. So what does that show us? That when we are faithful to God, he will be faithful to us. When we stand firm in the things of what God says, he will come through for us. And even if he doesn't come through for us, we will continue to stand firm in the word of God. Because here in verse 25, it says here, look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. The fourth looks like a god. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, being a worshipper of idol, he didn't realize that the fourth one was Jesus Christ himself, or was the Lord himself. He said the fourth looked like a god, so he didn't even recognize that it was God. And then when we look at it, people, we see that God came through for them. God will come through for you. It doesn't matter what is happening around us. It doesn't matter even if the enemy is throwing the kitchen sink at you. Continue to hold firm in God. Continue to stand your ground. When we read further on in the book of Daniel, we know we read about the account of Daniel, who was thrown in the lion's den. And it was all because of jealousy, where some of the people who were in the king's, you would say, inner circle, more than likely were jealous of Daniel. Why? Because they're saying, look, you're not even a Babylonian, or you're not even from our nation, but yet still you have like a high position. You are closer to the king than us. So what did they do? They conspired to have the king make a decree to say for 1 month or something to that effect, then no one can worship any other god. But the king, with all his pride and his puffed up self, he agreed to it, not even realizing that it was a scheme being planned, you know, against his faithful servant Daniel. And he obligated and he obliged and he did it. And that was King Darius. who did that. And we know that in the end, Daniel did not. Listen, Daniel still went ahead. Daniel still prayed to God. He still prayed 3 times per day. And he still worshiped God, even though the decree was passed. And that is it. There will be some who will laugh at us. There will be some who will scorn and say, why we are worshiping this invisible God, whilst we are worshiping this God who this, whilst we are worshiping this God who that. But let us not listen to them. Why? Let us continue to be bold in the face of the storm. Let us stand firm in the face of the storm, knowing that we who have a relationship with the Lord, and that is it. Daniel had a relationship with God. Daniel knew who God is. Daniel knew who the God he served is. And that is why he said he's not going to be not serving him. He's not going to go a day without praying to him. He's not going to go a day without seeking his face. And that is it. So too must we not go a day, because the pressures are going to come. The persecution is going to come. But will we stand when the persecution comes? Will we stand when the pressures come, where they're telling us not to do this, not to do that? When we look in the world around us, we can see it happening. It is happening little by little, where they're telling us as Christians, they're making us seem as though we are the worst things on this earth, when we are telling the truth, when we are speaking the gospel, when we are speaking and standing firm on the word of God. People want us to back down. People want us to conform to their way of thinking. But when the scriptures tells us it is the God of this world who has blinded their eyes. So we are not serving the God of this world. We are serving the God of creation. We are serving the one true and living God. And when you look in the book of Daniel, when after the king realized what happened that night, because he made a decree, he couldn't go back on his decree. So he had to carry out what his decree was. And that night, he couldn't even sleep. He could not even sleep. And he got up first thing in the morning and went down to the lion's den to see whether or not Daniel was still alive. Yeah, and what happened? What did it say? Here in verse 19 of Daniel chapter 6, very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown in the lion's den along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. And that is it, people of God. That is it, fellow people of God. When we are innocent in the eyes of the Lord, he will vindicate us. We don't have to proclaim our innocence or try to defend our innocence. When we are innocent before God, he is the one who will vindicate us. As the scripture says, you know, the Lord says, vengeance belongs to him and he will repay it. For some reason, my voice is going croaky. I have no idea what's happening. But looking at these three Hebrew boys, looking at Daniel, they stood firm in the Lord. And I'll give a short testimony. My daughter, she attends a faith school here in the UK. And a few weeks ago, they had a trip where they were supposed to go to this temple. But of course, when I saw that consent form, I'm like, no, she's not going. I raised my concerns to the school. And of course, you know, they rang me and was like, oh, it is for educational purposes, etc., etc., for them to go. And I said, I don't mind her learning about it in class because she still has to be wise and know what's happening out in the world. But I do not want her to be a partaker of it. I do not want her to go into any temple. I'm sorry. And they were adamant. But you know, on the form, what I noticed, it was only consent. Tick, where it says, I give consent. There was no box there to tick to say, I do not give consent. So directly they are saying that, well, even if you don't consent, we're still going to take your children or take your child. So it so happened that that morning she wasn't feeling well. And I had to take her to the doctor. Thanks be to God for that one. And she didn't go into school that day. And I remember before even she got sick, I was tidying the kitchen. I was standing up and washing up some dishes. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, stand your ground. Basically what he's saying, do not allow them to pressure you to do the things that you know is wrong. Do not allow them to pressure you to send your daughter to a temple. And then it's like the father was talking to me and say, they know it, at this temple they might want to do a blessing over the children. They might want to do this. And I'm like, she's not going. She's not. I was so firm in my conviction. I said, I'm not sending her to any temple. But as I said before, thanks be to God, that morning she wasn't feeling well. She woke up with like some little wails, etc., like some little bumps on her skin. And I managed to get a doctor's appointment. No, if you guys who are listening live in the UK, you know that sometimes when you ring your doctor, it takes weeks for you to get an appointment. But of course, God cleared the way. God made that path clear. And she got an appointment that very same day. And I took her to the doctor and they gave her medication. They said that it was probably something allergy. She was allergic to something. And lo and behold, the following day when I took her to school, a friend of mine, she said, her son, although he wasn't supposed to go because she didn't consent for him to go, they still took him to this temple. They still took him to this temple. And they just what the Lord told me that they would be doing, they gave a blessing over these children. They sprinkled water on them. And I said, my God, what is wrong with these people? As much as oh, you tell them you do not want your child to be involved in certain thing that goes against your belief, they're still pushing it. And I said, Father God, I am so thankful for you. And you know what I heard the Spirit says? He allowed her to be sick so that she wouldn't be able to go to that temple. Because even if I had trusted them and said, okay, although they said they weren't going to send her, they would still honor my request. Yeah, even if I had sent her, deep down, they would. And it has been proven right. See, they still allowed my friend, or they still told him that he had to go. They still told my friend's son that he had to go. So the Lord said to me, I allowed her to be sick so she wouldn't go into school. And the good thing about it is that he opened a door so that I could get a doctor's appointment the same day. So even if they wanted to check, they could see that I actually took her to the doctor. Isn't God not wonderful? So when you stand firm in the things of God, when you stand firm in what the scripture says, instead of bowing to society, instead of listening to the lies of society, God will vindicate you. God will come true. Because once you are found innocent in His eyes, and that is all that matters. When you are innocent in the eyes of God, He will do the rest. Vengeance is His, and He will repay. You know, so people of God, hold tight. Stand firm in the eyes of the storm. The storm may be brewing. The storm may be raging. But stand firm in the eyes of the storm. Why? Because we serve a God who is the rebuker of all storms. If you know the account of when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was there sleeping when the boat was rocking to and fro and they were so afraid. And he, what was he doing? He was sleeping. So what is it he's saying to us? Even in the eyes of the storm, we ourselves who are his followers can rest assured. We can have that peace that surpasses all understanding in knowing that once he gets up, he will rebuke all storm. And what happened when he got up? He rebuked the storm. And what did disciples say? What manner of man is this that even the winds and waves obey? My God, what manner of man is this that even the winds and waves obey? When we look, he shut the mouth of the lion. He was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if he was in the fire with them, if he shut the mouth of the lion, if he rebuked all of that, not if, we can see the evidence is there. Why is it do we think that the storms may be bellowing, but our God won't rebuke it? Our God won't shut the mouths? Our God won't be in the fire with us when we are going through our fiery trials? He is there with us. When we are in the den of the hottest, the lion, he is there with us. So my people, gentle people of God, continue to hold firm in your conviction. Stand firm in the word of God, because the word of God is truth. And what did Jesus say? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And who is the word of God? Jesus Christ himself is the word who became flesh to dwell amongst us. So I thank you so very much for listening to this podcast, and continue to walk in the will of God, because his will is perfect. We may not understand it, but be and say what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says. Even if he doesn't rescue us from the fire, we will not bow down to the statue. We will not conform to the ways of society. We will not conform to your beliefs and your thinking. We will take that narrow road instead of going on that wide road. So thank you so very much for listening, and I pray that whatever storm you're going through, whatever it is you're going through, trust the process, knowing that the God that you serve, he will deliver you from the storm. And as always, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and may the countenance of the Lord forever rest upon you and give you peace. And I say shalom, 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 and have a good day, everyone. A good morning, a good night, a good evening, whenever you have decided to listen to this podcast. And as always, even if he doesn't rescue you from the fiery furnace, we are not going to conform to the norms of society. We're going to only listen to what the word of God says. Why? Because God's word is truth. And thank you very, very much. And God bless you all. And have a wonderful day. Bye.